The Father's blessing is really what the whole thing is about. It is the great gift for us to seek and to receive. And God is blessing you. So the problem is that some things block our hearts from being able to receive that blessing. And he wants us to be able to receive the blessing in a way that we can also pass that on to others. All blessing is traced back to God. Like that song that we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Yeah. In the beginning, God blessed us. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then a few verses later, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. A blessing is simply a good word spoken by God. That's actually what we get in Latin, benediction. Diction is a word or an expression, and bene is well spoken. So to speak goodness. So when God said it is good and it is very good, God poured blessing into creation. And he said it was good about everything. He said when after he had created us, it was very good. And that's the blessing that he wants each of us to receive. In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it leads us to ask the question, well, what is God's heart? Well, it's that goodness. In the heart of the Father and in the heart of God is goodness. And that's what is spoken then, blessing, that good speech that God pours out. Great pleasure, delight, and joy. That's what was in the heart of God when he looked on each one of us. The Hebrew word for blessing has to do with speaking well about a person. A blessing imparts something. So it's not just empty words, but there's something that's given. There's a kind of substance to it. It empowers us to prosper and to thrive, to succeed, to have a good journey when he blesses us on the way, to have a good journey through life. When we speak a blessing, it means to speak the thoughts of God into the heart of another person. And the thoughts God has about us are the treasure that we seek. God's plan is that we would be able to speak this blessing. That's why we conclude every Mass with a priestly blessing, for the priest to speak that on behalf of God and on behalf of the church, but it's meant to pour out in a way that we can also be a blessing and speak blessing into the lives of others. Sometimes words are used over and over again, and they start to lose their impact. We can talk about being blessed when we find a coupon or an item on sale. Well, surely that's a blessing in some form, but we might start to empty out the profound quality of real blessing that God is speaking into us. Each one of us needs to be blessed. We need to hear the Father's whisper and receive what's in his heart for each one of us. It's good for us to reflect on our need to be blessed. And we can see that in the perfect humanity. One of the things that God did in Jesus was to give us a perfect human journey, we could say. And especially in the beginning, God placed him in the perfect family, the holy family, and then gave us this unfolding example of what human life looks like in a kind of perfect way. Now, not to say there weren't any troubles, right? So sometimes we have the idea that a perfect life would be trouble-free. But a perfect life is filled with love. That's the perfect life that Jesus lived and exemplifies for us. So we see in the life of Jesus the kind of blessing that he received. He received the blessing of identity and purpose and destiny many times in those first couple of chapters of Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. We call those the infancy narratives about the childhood of Jesus. Jesus received blessings at major points in his life as expressions of God's full love for him. So we can think of his conception. When was he conceived? At the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to a man to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So he blessed the mother, first of all. These are the words we say over and over again in the rosary. The Hail Mary, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Those were God's words of blessing to Mary, even as he was preparing her to receive his son. She didn't know how to receive that. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." The angel tells Mary, the Holy Spirit will hover over her. And her son, he declares the identity, her son will be called the Son of God. He gave him the name Jesus, and that's already part of his mission, his purpose, and his destiny. God saves. The name Jesus means God saves. And so that naming bestows a mission and a destiny on a child. So every time that Mary and Joseph called Jesus by name, it was a reminder of who he is and what he will be, a savior. And then we see blessing again in the next passage in the infancy narratives. Mary got up in haste and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child. The angel had told her that her cousin, who was barren, was with child, and she went to visit her, and as she came into the threshold of the house, in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Jesus and his mother received affirmation and blessing during her pregnancy. So already God starts with blessing at the moment of conception and in the womb. He's already speaking blessing. Now into the lives of Jesus and Mary, all of that was communicated and saved. God was already blessing you also at your conception and in the womb of your mothers. He was already blessing you. Sometimes our parents didn't communicate that to us in the same way that Mary was able to communicate that to Jesus. Also at his birth, God sent angels to shepherds and sent shepherds to the Holy Family. The angel revealed the glory of God to the shepherds and announced that today a Savior has been born, and they witnessed the heavenly host praising God. And the shepherds went and told them all that they had experienced, and they marveled. Even Mary and Joseph, who had received all of these things in various ways from angels previously, but it's easy for these things to slip from our minds and to become more distant and hard to believe. And so we need a renewal of blessing. And God renews that blessing for them. Again, just a few months later, 40 days later, in the temple, Mary and Joseph brought the child into the temple. And there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." These are all words of blessing that Simeon was able to speak on behalf of God to Mary and Joseph, who received that for themselves, saved it up also for their baby, and were able to communicate that to Jesus when the time came that he could receive it. So that became all part of their testimony. Luke 2:19 tells us, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We can think of how that played out in the Holy Family, what the Mary treasuring these things in her heart looked like, and what she might have done with that when Jesus was old enough to be able to receive the story, in hopes that parents would also learn to bless their children. Neil Lozano, who developed a lot of these materials, wrote a little children's story to enter into that in an imaginative way. What would this relationship with Mary and Joseph with Jesus look like? So I just want to read to you a little bit from Will You Bless Me? So her father, it's a story of a little girl whose father then tells her a story. He says, "Long time ago, in a place called Nazareth, a little boy played with a wooden chest that his father had made. There were treasures in that chest, treasures given to his family not long after his birth. 'Mom,' the boy called out, 'could you tell me about the wise men again?' His fingers toyed with something shiny inside the chest. Mary set aside her sewing and pulled her son Jesus onto her lap. 'It was after you were born,' she said, 'three wise men came to see us from far away. They were beautifully dressed and carrying gifts just for you. One brought gold, another frankincense, and the third one myrrh. God told them that a very special child had been born.'" "It was the star, wasn't it, Mom?" Jesus interrupted. "That's how they found us." "That's right," Mary told him. "God put an amazing star in the sky, and the wise men followed it." Joseph put down his tools and leaned closer to hear his wife and son. He loved these moments when Mary talked to Jesus about his birth, telling her son all the thoughts and plans God had just for him. Joseph could feel the presence of God, Jesus' true father, reaching down to bless his only son through Mary's simple words. "Now tell me about the angel," Jesus begged, "the one who told the shepherds about me." Mary smiled. "Well, the shepherds were watching their sheep late at night when the whole sky suddenly lit up with God's glory. At first, the shepherds were frightened, but the angel said to them, 'Shepherds, don't be afraid. The news I bring you is wonderful. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. And here's proof that what I'm saying is true. You'll find this baby snuggled in warm clothes and lying in a manger.'" Mary touched her son's eager face. "The shepherds came," she said, "and told us all that the angel had said about you. God has such a special plan for your life, Jesus." The little boy grew quiet now. Joseph could tell that he was thinking. "Tell me again about that first angel, Mom," pleaded Jesus. "The one who told you I was coming. That's my favorite part." Mary drew a deep breath, remembering the wonder of the moment. "As a young girl, I was pledged to marry your father. I was so excited, thinking about it day and night." And then, she paused, "the angel appeared." "It was Gabriel, wasn't it?" the boy chimed in. Yes, it was. And he said, you didn't need to be afraid. That's right. Then he told you about me, and you should name me Jesus. Mary looked deeply into the eyes of her son. The angel told me that you will be great, Jesus. You will be called the Son of the Most High. As Jesus took in the words, he rested his head against his mother and heard the soft beat of her heart. Somehow Jesus sensed that there were many treasures kept there for him to know someday. Joseph wiped his eyes. He treasured moments like these, when he and Mary had the joy of unfolding the heart of the Father to God's own precious Son. Just then, the boy's head popped up. So what happened to the gold? He asked. Winking at Mary, Joseph said, I guess God knew we'd need it for our vacation in Egypt. But by now, Jesus had hopped off Mary's lap and run outside and play. The moment was over, but the blessing was eternal. Yeah, just a beautiful, imaginative way to look at that family, which was fully human, even as Jesus was at the same time fully God. And they lived up and stored up these memories. You know, it's a nice reflection. St. Luke wrote all of those things that I read to you earlier. Where did he hear them from? You know, did he hear them from Mary? Did he hear them from Jesus? Yeah. You can ask the Lord when you see him. Jesus was again blessed at his baptism. In Mark chapter 1, it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. In that are both dimensions of blessing, identity, you are my son, and also purpose to live out and to carry out that love of God. And the Spirit then drove him into the wilderness for 40 days and led him through his ministry and ultimately led him to the cross. But before the cross, even as he had, after he made the first prediction of that great suffering that he would endure, which would be the fulfillment of his ministry, the Father spoke to him again in the presence of his apostles and said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. After receiving the blessing at his baptism, when Jesus went out into the desert, we can see all of the Spirit's temptations being against, not the Spirit, the devil's temptations being against his identity and his purpose and his destiny, saying, if you are the Son of God, putting him to the test. That's unconditional. And your destiny, he's saying, is to rule over all of the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus is the King of heaven and is desiring to bring us into heaven. And tempts him again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself from this high parapet and call on angels to help you. So the enemy is always trying to steal our identity and our destiny. But the Father empowers Jesus to go to the cross and fulfill his mission, speaking to him at his baptism, speaking to him in the transfiguration. Every attempt by the devil to rob us of freedom is an attempt to rob us of our identity, our purpose, and our destiny. But Jesus responds to the temptations in the desert. He responds with the words of Scripture, words of blessing. He responds with the Word of God. When the devil calls him to turn stones into bread, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. The word of God is a word of blessing. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Another time that Jesus was tempted was right after he proclaimed that he would go to the cross, that he would suffer many things and die for the salvation of all of us, and then be raised up again. And then Peter said, good old Peter, no, Lord, it won't be, let it not be that way. And Jesus said to him, hearing Satan coming through him, get behind me, Satan. You are not speaking as thinking like God does, but as men do. He saw that attack on his destiny and on his purpose. He knew that his purpose was to love to the end, even to the point of suffering and death, to give everything for us, even to enter into all of our suffering, all of our wounds, and to be able to deliver us from that. But there was the temptation spoken through the lips of Peter in that case. Sometimes we receive those things from others, sometimes others who are well-meaning, like Peter was. But it tries to steal, the enemy tries to steal our identity and our destiny through that. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And in Matthew chapter 16, oops, that's what that was. When we lose sight of the Father's blessing, we become vulnerable to the enemy's attack. When we lose sight of our childhood, our divine adoption, that we are children of God, we become vulnerable to the enemy's attack. If we are not blessed, we don't know our identity, and we think every time someone corrects us, they are rejecting us. But correction has to do with action, performance. Rejection has to do with identity. So correction is not rejection. But we can lose track of our identity and think that we're being rejected. If we aren't blessed, we don't know that we have what it takes to fulfill the purpose God has for our lives. If our identity and purpose and destiny are not valued and affirmed, we tend to choose one of two sinful responses, either to try harder, I'm going to earn it, I will save myself. This is basically the response of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Sometimes we might say, well, if I can't be accepted, at least I can be right. And we're tempted to cling to rules or self-righteousness or judgment or self-reliance. These are forms of self-affirmation. A lot of people in church don't know how loved they are by God, and that he has a purpose for our lives. Our second response to not walking in that, to not storing up and holding on to that blessing from the Father, is that we give up, that it's hopeless. And that's the story of the prodigal son who gives up. We say things like, what I do is never good enough, I will always fail. And we accept despair and self-condemnation and worthlessness. In a number of former communist countries, the government systematically removed fathers from their role in the families. And as a result, a lot of men abandoned their families and suffered alcoholism. After a generation, many fathers did not know how to raise their children or how to bless them. But God wants us to learn to bless others. The blessings we receive from God are incomplete until they're given to someone else. One of the interesting differences between material goods, you know, if you give me 20 bucks, you're out 20 bucks. But spiritual goods, we keep by giving them away. And so we keep our blessings by giving them away, by blessing others. So it's important for parents to learn to bless their children. A family blessing can consist of something as simple as a meaningful touch or a hug, spoken word, attaching a high value to the one being blessed, picturing a special future for the one being blessed, to really see the beautiful plans that God has for children. And so parents can bless their children also through their name. Maybe you didn't know what your children's name meant when you gave it to them. But it's amazing how we can discover those, the meaning of names. Usually names are carrying very good messages with them, and we can discover, even after the fact, what that name might mean for that child. Also, remembering stories and celebrating special days is another kind of blessing. We often do that with birthdays. The world was made better. It's worth having a party when your face was first revealed. It's the first time anyone ever saw you. You didn't start existing at your birthday, but it was the first time that the world was able to see you and to see your face. And it's worth celebrating. But we also celebrate baptisms, and good to remember our baptismal anniversary. Our baptism is when we were born into God's family and adopted into His family, renewed and regenerated. So we can celebrate these moments, and they can become occasions for blessing. I like very much, I know some religious communities that have the practice of honoring a sister on their, I always forget, one, they do one on the birthday and one on their feast day. Anyway, on their birthday, they honor the sister for the ways that she is a blessing and communicate that, vocalize that. We need to hear it. It's important to hear it. So, none of us were blessed in the same way that Jesus was. Some of us were never blessed as children. For some, it has been generations of fathers and mothers who have forgotten to speak how to speak words of blessing. But we can learn to bless others by receiving the Father's blessing. We can learn to receive that. Some people were conceived at a time of great stress in the family. In some cases, there was worry or divorce, alcoholism, even violence. Sometimes abortion may have been considered, or you may have lost a brother or sister to abortion. Some were abandoned through divorce or a parent's death. Some of you were not wanted by your parents. The pregnancy was a burden. The birth was difficult. There wasn't much celebration. That's the small story. But the big story is what was happening in heaven and what was happening in the Son of God. We can look at our whole lives with hope, seeing how God wanted you, how God celebrated you, how the angels rejoiced at your conception and at your birth. We can see how God celebrated your existence and wanted you to come into being and formed you with His own hands exactly as He wanted you to be, even if you didn't come out as others have wanted you to be. God made you as He wanted you to be. And so, for those who have not communicated God's purpose and God's blessing to us, we forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we want to take our stand against the devil's schemes as he tries to use those things to steal our identity and to steal our blessing from us. But it is possible to know our purpose and for Jesus, our deliverer, truly to set us free. When we celebrate a jubilee year, which was built into the Jewish cycle of feasting, it means that we get it all back. There was a resolution. All debts were forgiven. All land was returned. It was like, you know, starting over when you pick up the board game and just dump off all the pieces and then you start again. So there's a jubilee that is there for each one of us. We don't live in the small story anymore. We get to live in the big story of the Father's love for His beloved Son because we've been immersed in that Son. To be baptized is to be baptized into the Son. We have been made free in Christ. So I want to lead you in a little reflection, and this is a way for each of you to receive the Father's blessing. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and use your imagination. I want you to imagine that you're standing on the banks of the Jordan River. You've been coming there to see John the Baptist preach day after day. Each day you tell yourself that this is the day that you are going to go into the water to be baptized. But each day your courage fails you and you go home discouraged. Yesterday something different happened. John stopped preaching, looked up, pointed to a man in the distance and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You have been wondering what this might mean. How can a man take away the sin of the world? Today, as you listen to John preach, you hear a commotion behind you, and the crowd begins to move. When you turn around, you see the man that John had pointed to, and he is coming straight towards you. Part of you wants to run away, but your feet just stay where they are planted. As Jesus walks past you, he takes your hand, and you walk out into the water together. First, the water is ankle deep, then it is up to your knees, then it is up to your waist. You stand before John with Jesus, and John is trembling. He says, "Surely it is I who need to be baptized by you." Jesus replies, "Let it be done now to fulfill all righteousness." So John takes one hand and places it on the head of Jesus, and he takes the other hand and places it on your head. And you both go down into the water together. Under the water, it is only a few moments, but it feels like an eternity. You feel a mighty wind begin to blow right through you. And in that moment, you feel all of your sin, all of your darkness and failures begin to separate from you like the chaff from wheat, and the wind takes it completely away. And when you come up from the water, you feel like a completely new person. You can feel the warmth of the sun on your skin and the coolness of the breeze. And as you take a breath, you hear a voice coming from heaven. "This is my son." You look to your left to find Jesus, but he isn't there. You look to your right, and he's not there either. "This is my son." And that's when you realize Jesus, the Son of God, is in you. "This is my son. This is my daughter, in whom is my delight. You are my beloved. I love you so much. You belong to me. I am your father." Father, I ask you to pour your blessing into the hearts of my brothers and sisters, your beloved children. Just want to speak to you in the Father's voice. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, in you I am well pleased. I loved you the moment I created you, the moment I formed you exactly as I wanted you to be, with my own hands in your mother's womb. I loved you from the first moment of your life. I chose you. I wanted you. I wanted you to exist. I brought you into this world. And there was a party in heaven the day you were born. A party in heaven with all the angels and saints, because they knew you were made to be one of us, with us in heaven. They knew that I made you for that destiny, for that purpose, to have a life, an eternity of joy. I made you for joy, for goodness. And I want to speak that into your heart again today. No matter what has happened to you, no matter how you've suffered, no matter what anyone has done to you, they cannot change the fact that you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. They cannot take your identity away from you. And they can't steal your place in heaven. I've saved it for you. I've saved that place in heaven for you, and it's still wide open. It's not too late for anyone. I'm with you, and I want to help you. Come to me in your weakness. Come to me when you're suffering and struggling. Come to me in your doubts and fears. Come to me whenever you need help. I'm there to listen to you, there to help you. And I'm always ready to show you my love as your Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for the words you speak to us, and the words that resound in our hearts, the words you've spoken personally to each of your beloved sons and daughters. Just ask you to seal in each one's heart all the grace that you've given today. The words that you have spoken, help them to resonate and those blessings to take hold and to resound. Send them forth empowered to be able to share that blessing with others, to see the goodness in others and to speak to them your love. And I ask you now, with my priestly authority, to pour out your blessing upon each one in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.